Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. I don't know what it is about the start to this season for the Milwaukee Brewers. 55 games in the books. They're 31-24. I know they've had some tough competition. I know they've lost some tough games. Maybe we've been distracted by the Bucks, but they're playing good baseball. They're a half game out of first place. It seems like things are a lot more dire than that, but they're doing very well. And I don't know what that is, Chuck. I don't know why I feel that way, but they are doing very well.
They are. Brandon Woodruff has kind of stabilized the starting rotation a little bit. Gio gave him, he struggled to get that 3-run homer last night, but he's been okay in the rotation. Zach Davies, very good, although he got crushed in his last outing, that day game last week against the Reds. Hader's got 13 saves out of the bullpen, and some guys haven't got going offensively yet. And, the first base spot seems to be a problem. Wrote about this in the paper the other day, that they're giving both of those guys chances, Aguilar and Thames. Thames had a chance against three right-handers and still failed this weekend.
I just think that if you've been focused on the Bucks or maybe not paying attention just kind of from afar, and then you say, what are the Brewers' record? And you'd say, I don't know, they're probably like 500. No, they're 31-24 and a half game out in the NL Central. Adam McAlvey joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. I mean, you're around the team pretty much every day. Does it feel like that to you, or does it feel like they're a 7-game above 500 team?
To me, it feels like they've been playing pretty well. And, when you look at, you mentioned the competition, that's a big part of the story of their season. Because we sat in spring training, guys, and remember, we looked at that April schedule with 17 games against the Dodgers and Cardinals. And then the stretch in May that culminated with that three-city trip, Chicago, Philly, Atlanta, three teams that were supposed to be really good and are pretty good. I think getting through that with their head above water was good. Because I remember, guys, we sat and said going in, like, you get through that stretch above 500, that's okay. I mean, they got through it well above 500. Maybe what you're sensing is last year they had that lockdown bullpen, especially late once they got Soria in there. They had a really good bullpen, and if they could get a lead in like the fifth inning, you felt like it sort of felt like the game was over a little bit. They don't have that this year because they've been doing much more kind of piecing things together in the pen. And guys have performed, like, give Junior Guerra a lot of credit. Jeremy Jeffress has pitched well when you look at the numbers, even though he's still trying to get to where he was last year. Hader's obviously pitched great. But maybe that's why is they're having to kind of grind through victories a little bit more than they did last year, last year it felt like they had some more games where they won kind of running away. I don't know. If you feel like maybe they're treading water, maybe that's it. But I think if you look in the standings,
maybe I'm just always pessimistic, and it's just my own view on life. It just could be that. Maybe that's
well. They got off to an 8-2 start. They're basically playing 500 baseball since then.
Well, look, but I mean, that's what you do. You play 500 baseball, and then you get a hot stretch, whether it's to start the year or whether it's to start the month of June or whatever it is. Last year, it came late. And, you ride that hot streak to whatever your record is. Yeah. And then it's like that old adage, what, every team loses 60 and every team wins 60. It's what you do with the other. My math is so bad. It's what you do with the other 60 that matters. That's kind of the story of the game. And that's what they're doing this season is in there. They've had more good stretches than bad, I guess I would say. And that's what, if you're a good team, that's what you do. And look, guys, Ben Gamel is really carrying things lately. Let's just make sure Chuck is aware of.
Oh, sure. Struck out
the good deeds of Ben Gamel.
That's fine. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's hitting 260. I'll tell you, Orlando Arcia, who had a big night last night, man.
Yeah.
You know, if you get the defense like you got out of him, and he's batting 260 at a home run last night, man, I think he's turned around his season on offense.
He has, and I don't know if there's a difference. I don't know if it's just that he's a streaky guy and he's in a good streak right now. But look, if he provides you a minimum amount of offense, he'll work out because of what he does for you on defense. Errors here and there. I mean, everybody, that happens to the best players. You try to limit him, and he could do better at limiting some of like the, you know, a couple of routine errors that have hurt him. But look, you can't do much beyond that to criticize what he does defensively. And if he just hits a little bit, he can be a good player at the bottom of that lineup. And right now he's hitting more than a little bit. And that was a big one last night against the best team in baseball record-wise. You know, you get out of Minnesota with at least one victory, that's a pretty good trip up there.
Talking with Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. They can say it's a platoon, but it feels like Aguilar's been benched at first base with Thames getting a lot of starts lately.
We asked about that the other day, and, you know, at other points in the season, Council has said, yeah, I mean, he doesn't use the word bench, but he'll say, you know, remember in St. Louis in April where Jesus Aguilar kind of had a week out of the lineup, the idea was to let him kind of reset, clear his brain a little bit. They did the same with Travis Shaw. When they faced all those lefties in Chicago, it was a design break to clear his head. Council says that's not exactly what this is. He makes it more out to be that they're just trying to get offense from that position. So every day they're trying to look at who's pitching for the other team and which is the better matchup between Aguilar or Thames. And it's been a run of right-handed pitchers that have splits that suggest you put as many left-handed bats in there as you can. So, you know, that's splitting hairs a little bit, but that's kind of what they're thinking lately, because that's a position first base, A, where you want to get offense. Every team, that's an offensive position for every team. And B, it's like if you lined up the Brewers' positions that you were worried about going into the year, it would be way down at the bottom of the list, almost more so than like right field, because, you know, you can't predict an injury for a player, you know, one of your marquee players. But at first base, you felt like even if one of those guys got hurt or struggled, you had the other one to put in there and you felt really covered. And it's not something that that the models projected that both guys would struggle to the extent that they have. So that's kind of a mystery right now. And you know, I don't know exactly what there is to be done about it. The two ideas, if you really get to a point where you feel like you got to make a change because neither one of those guys can get it going, is if Travis Shaw can start doing something at AAA, which he hasn't done yet, but if he can get to the point where you feel like he's ready to come back. I mean, he's got experience at first base, and he's done it for the Brewers. There's a bat you could kind of either add to that mix or just put there to do something to make a change, or you go outside the organization. But again, I don't know that that's something going into the year they ever imagined having to think about.
Yeah, how disappointing would it be if they had to go outside the organization when they have two first basemen who at one time were starting caliber first basemen with the team?
Sure.
Aguilar was an all-star last year, and you know, Damsey's had his moments in the last couple of years, but God, that would be just to see those two guys on the bench because they couldn't get it done. Thames hit 239. What is Aguilar hitting 195? That's terrible. And Aguilar's actually been his batting average has actually been better in recent weeks, but still, it's just not good.
Well, he went through that stretch where he started to come on a little bit, and it wasn't just the hits, it was getting on base. He was walking a lot more, and he just looked like a more productive player, and that kind of has faded again now. And Jesus Aguilar is a really important player for the culture of the team. If you're a believer in there's more to it than sort of the numbers on the page, then Jesus Aguilar is on a short list of the most important players on the team because he's kind of one of those glue guys that keeps everybody upbeat, keeps it going in tough games where, you know, they'll maybe have an unexpected comeback. He's often one of the guys kind of getting that going. So he's an important player, and that's why they've given him such a long rope to get going. But look, at some point, you can't keep doing the same thing. And first base happens to be a position where they don't have a Keston Hira to just call up and plug in there. So you'd have to get a little bit more creative if it does get to the point where you feel like a change is necessary there.
Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. The one thing that I did not want to see with the pitching staff was guys go back and forth like Brandon Woodruff did last year. And I'm talking all over the place, like minors to the big leagues to reliever to starter. And that's what happened to Woody last year. This year, I mean, he is locked in. That game on Sunday was brilliant. So it makes me wonder, like, do you look at Corbin Burnes the same way and try to get that Woodruff thing? Because it almost looks like Corbin Burnes, while they want him to be a starter, he might be better off as a reliever. It's just I don't know how much they look at Woodruff and then make that help their decision what to do with Burnes.
Well, it's remember Corbin Burnes is like a year behind Brandon Woodruff. So think about Brandon Woodruff last season where he was back and forth. His starts were okay and then some bad ones. And, you know, you felt like who is he really? And now here he is just in the rotation. I think the difference between Burnes and Woodruff this year is both got off to disappointing starts. Then Woodruff kind of pretty quickly turned it around. Corbin Burnes did not. And it kind of got into like a merge. They felt like it was such a dire situation with Burnes that you had to make it was sending him down. And then when you brought him back, it was for the bullpen. So, you know, look, it's an example of, we talk about this, how pitching prospects are tricky and require this extreme patience, and you got to wear some difficult times, some difficult where they get really knocked around. I mean, Brandon Woodruff had games where his ERA after five starts, I think it was pushing six. And there was, you know, he was right in the mix of guys that were struggling and the reason that they had the worst ERA in the National League. And I guess Craig Counsell said even then is that when they really dissected those starts, they felt like he was throwing the ball better than the numbers indicated. The fastball was playing better than the numbers, than the ERA indicated. And they let him keep pitching, and he's turned it around, to give him credit. I mean, he's turned into easily their top starter right now.
All right. Well, Woodruff, I didn't think that he'd merge as the top starter of those three guys. But, I mean, 7-1, he pitched the one hitter the other night. He looked great. And just to hear Bryce Harper talk glowingly about him the other day, this guy's like an all-star pitcher right now.
Yeah, look, I mean, people maybe were off. I know the Sunday of Memorial Day is a busy day for families and things like that, so maybe everyone wasn't dialed in. There's an argument to be made that that was the most well-pitched game in franchise history.
Really?
That was the only time in 50 years that the Brewers have allowed one base runner. That home run was the only guy who touched base for the Phillies. And even in, you know, think about Juan Nieves' no-hitter. That was a five-walk game. There was a one-hitter against the Twins in the 70s where there were no walks, but there was a hit batter. So even in that game, there were two base runners. So this was kind of like a historic, very, very close to history.
And he struck out, did he not, every batter at the end of every inning?
And Matt Albers got the guy in the ninth. So they ended every inning of that game with a strikeout, which is one of those you don't see very often type of things.
And Austin Knapp will be the answer to a trivia question.
Oh, man. And you know what? On a good pitch, a changeup. It's another one where just baseball drives you crazy because you can execute perfectly. You can make what Woodruff said after the game. He still feels like that was the right pitch. He was very convicted in that choice. And he put it where he wanted to put it, and the guy reaches out and hits a changeup down and away, or at least outer half, and pulls it into the right field bleachers. You know, and it's a backup catcher, a guy who hadn't hit a homer all season. So it's, you know, think about how hard it is. Well, just how hard it is to play this stupid game, and then how hard it is to throw a no-hitter. It takes a tremendous amount of luck. It also takes, you know, being able to pitch nine innings, which we just don't see anymore.
Well, one no-hitter in 50 years, it can't be all that easy for the
Brewers. No, it's a hard game.
But Mike Fiers has two in the last 4 years. So.
Yeah. But, I mean,
yeah.
It'll be all that hard.
Isn't that weird? Isn't that such a strange? Yeah, and then, you know, you look at the, you know, and then he has outings where it's, you know, five runs in four innings. It's a funny game, and pitching is the trickiest part of the whole thing. And developing your own pitchers is really challenging. So look, good for Woodruff getting going. Now let's see what happens with Burns and Peralta. They're kind of safely in the pen right now. They don't have a big need in the rotation. They got Jimmy Nelson on the cusp now. So they've got options should they run into trouble. It's just a matter of can these options perform at a high level and, you know, get you out into games.
Who pitches in the big league first, Jimmy Nelson or Chuck Freeman?
I'm going to go. I'm still not believing Nelson until I see it. Yeah, I don't know. I might have had more doubt a couple of weeks and months ago. But from what we hear, you know, say from Jacob Nottingham, who's been catching him, had been catching him earlier. And from Jimmy Nelson himself, I talked to him during that last road trip. I think there's a high degree of confidence now that he pitches in the big leagues. It's just a matter of when.
All right.
Adam, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon and we'll see you at the park.
All right, see you guys. Yep.
Adam McKelvey on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, your childhood sports hero. Some really good ones coming in. We'll take a look at that next.
Coming up today at 2.
Back at full strength from the Memorial Day weekend when we wrap up the Bucs season. Where did John Horst in the front office go from here? And who would you go into the luxury tax?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.